It's been an interesting year with a pandemic and a major economic slowdown challenging us all. So how did commercial real estate fare in 2020 and the beginning of 21? Did the work from home trend kill the office space business? And what kinds of companies benefited from the current situation, thus creating opportunities in commercial real estate? Find out as we talk with Justin Tebow and Nelson Taylor of LSI Companies in Fort Myers, beginning right now.
You're listening to The Royal Palmcast, the show about all things real estate. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sandville.
Welcome to The Royal Palmcast. I'm your host, Jim Sandville. I am here in the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association with Jerry Johnson in beautiful Southwest Florida. Jerry, how are you?
I'm beautiful and I'm sunny.
Yeah.
Sunny Southwest Florida.
Sunny Southwest. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Jerry, everything going okay in your world?
I mean, it's going well. We're having a very heavy production day. A lot of studio work today, but yeah, we're having a great time here in Southwest Florida.
Let me know when it's 10:30 a.m.
Oh, jeez. It'd be more like 10 p.m. by the time we're done.
Nah, it's all good. Good thing we love our jobs. I really do.
Yes, we do.
I'm very fortunate to work here at the Realtor Association with some amazing people, and doing this show, I get to meet even more amazing people, including today's guests. They've both been here before, and their area of expertise is commercial real estate. First, I want to welcome the president and partner in LSI Companies of Fort Myers, Justin Tebow. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you very much. Happy to be back.
Yeah, Justin Tebow, CCIM, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Yeah, don't want to forget that.
Of course.
All right, and we also have from LSI Companies in Fort Myers, Nelson Taylor. He is the Market Research Director. Welcome, Nelson.
Thanks for having me back. I've spent a lot of time researching for the lightning round, so I'll do better.
Really? Yeah. Wow. You guys were both sports to play the lightning round the last time you were on, so we really appreciate that. And I feel like we really know you a lot better now. They don't want to say anything more.
We'll see how the next round goes, right?
No, but today we want to talk about, on the Royal Palmcast, talk about current market conditions in the commercial sector. We focus mainly on residential stuff, but we also have a commercial side to us here at the Realtor Association as well. So I'm thrilled to be able to talk about current conditions with these two experts on the topic. So let's jump right into it. The elephant in the room, COVID-19. How has that impacted the commercial side of things?
Well, I think you got to go back to the very beginning. I mean, when you start to look at what kind of started in April, was we reached a local unemployment level of about 14%, and that's when the government and the Federal Reserve stepped in and kind of lowered interest rates, but that only was able to spark the purchase of durables, your homes, your cars, your larger purchases, but they couldn't make you go back to restaurants. So a lot of the retail stuff kind of suffered leading up into this, general recovery we're having now, but a lot of it was suffered just because of the, inability to go to a restaurant without feeling safe. But hopefully the vaccine is really going to change this.
Yeah, well, and the fallout was evident. The retail world especially. But what's been interesting to see is the bounce back and what's occurred since then. And we've started to see retail reemerge. Obviously, for commercial real estate, it's primarily been the essential business type things that are reemerging for new development, the drive-throughs, the service stations, that type of retail. But there's also been another sector that's kind of come back. Isn't that right, Nelson?
It sure has. I think if you really want to look at it, since the 14% unemployment rate in April last year, we dropped down to a 4. So we've recovered about 60,000 jobs, which has caused the industrial market just to rage, which a lot of it is, if you kind of look at the airport, bringing in a lot of freight traffic. So I think in December, we had our largest freight of total pounds brought in that was affecting the home building market and a lot of things that were going under construction right now.
So that's a metric you keep an eye on.
It's one of the metrics I look at.
one of the many,
He dreams about that.
So I mean, when you start to look at it, I mean, we forecasted earlier this year, I guess at least in 2020, that, coming out of the first quarter, we had a huge growth in permitting activity for the residential market. We were on pace to have a boom year. And then that, you know, April, May, June hit, and everyone kind of thought the world was ending. But we finished out the last half of the year with record activity, which put a lot of pressure on our, you know, retail service industries and industrial products that kind of brought back building prices and brought back occupancy levels.
Yeah, right. It's stunning how quickly things came back. Mm-hmm. What was the unemployment rate pre-pandemic?
It was around 3-something, like low threes. It was one of the lowest we've ever seen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So labor shortage.
Yeah.
It went from a glut to a shortage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Amazing. Yeah. And obviously, you know, generally outside of the real estate world, we're still reeling and feeling the effects. But in the real estate world, there has been a breath of fresh air and a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just not in the same sectors that it was before. We're not seeing as many new restaurants come in. We're not seeing as much of the general retail, the big box retail. It's still happening, but not at the pace it was prior.
Nelson, you must have some insight into this. What percentage of the businesses were lost forever over the past year?
Oh, I don't have that stat specifically. I'd have to kind of break that down. I think FGCU kind of looked at it to see how many businesses we lost, and it was a lot of restaurants and kind of the small mom-and-pop shops, but if they were able to hold on, you know, a lot of these landlords were able to, you know, provide free rent and some type of offset that would allow them to kind of hold on and fight through the pandemic to, you know, make it through this recovery. And I saw a stat today, I think, from CoStar, who tracks a lot of commercial stuff. They were looking at the vaccine rate versus occupancy rate in hotels daily. So we're seeing a huge recovery in a lot of these asset groups that were, you know, really, really suffering. And especially when you look at the population growth down here right now, I mean, a lot of people fled these urban markets and came down here. So, you know, if you don't build anything new, but you add a lot of people, it's going to really affect the service industry. It's putting more pressure on it and having them. All these people need this, what they serve. So mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Yeah, but the landlords kind of took it on the chin, didn't they?
You know, the good thing is that, especially in our market, the landlords did take it on the chin and realize the magnitude of what we were dealing with, because for the most part, landlords that worked with their tenants with the end game in mind to keep their tenants long term, they're now enjoying the fruits of the labor because now they have tenants that believe in them and want to stay in their facility. So those that weren't ready to accommodate probably will feel that impact later. But those that did take it on the chin and help their tenants stay in place, gave them some rent relief, they have loyal tenants now. And that was the right move, in my opinion, to do that. And generally speaking, what I've seen in our market, that was done. And tenancy is holding in our area across each of the sectors. Obviously, you know, on face value, we see some that, wow, that's empty now. But for the most part, across office, industrial, and retail sector, tenancy is holding strong.
Did any of the federal programs having to do with COVID, did they make the landlords whole?
I haven't seen them that make the landlords whole. I've seen them like the PPP program that's helped tenants pay rent for landlords. Unless I'm missing something there, Nelson, I haven't really seen any landlord relief.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully if you helped out the businesses, they helped out
exactly.
The owners.
So. Yeah,
it's a long-sighted decision when you handle it the way that many of them did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good stuff. Now, I saw recently that NAR named Cape Coral Fort Myers one of the top commercial markets in the United States. What's up with that? I mean, it's going gangbusters, but
it is.
Is this surprising to you? Maybe not.
You know, we've always been somewhere hovering in the top 15, call it, right? Uh-huh. Now we're escalated farther, and the general drivers have always been there. We're in sunny Southwest Florida, the beaches, the you know, all the attractions we have here, wildlife, and it's easy to get here. COVID has pushed us even further and accentuated that, because for folks that were living in dense urban environments and other areas, maybe they were on the precipice of retirement, maybe now they've been offered an early retirement package, they're coming to Florida, and they're not going to stop coming to Florida. And on the flip side of that, not just that generation of folks are coming to Florida, folks that are now working virtually indefinitely are coming to Florida, because would they rather live in Kansas and do their work where they are right up the street from their office, they're not going to, or would they rather live in Cape Coral or Fort Myers where they can get right to the beach in 10 minutes and have a good time when they're not working? So I am surprised the velocity at which folks are moving here and the fact that we're catapulting so quickly to that, but I'm not shocked that it's happening in general.
Now, that's obviously a big impact on residential, but it trickles up to commercial.
Well, rooftops drive commercial. So, you know, the more residency are, that we have here, the higher average sale prices and median sale prices we have on homes drive different users for commercial real estate. It drives the healthcare industry. Rooftops drive it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there is a stat that I do follow. It's the registered vehicles monthly by county. So it shows you just how many new cars and basically new residents we have in the area. And just in the last year, from April to March, we added about 15,000 new registered vehicles on our roadways just in Lee County.
Mm-hmm. 15,000?
So, correct.
That explains the traffic.
Wonder.
Correct. So, I mean, that's kind of what you've got to really look at our area. I mean, you know, synonymously, when we were looking back, you know, we were in the top 40, we're a tourism town. You know, that's when we swell is in that December through April, and everyone leaves after Easter. But I don't think they're going to be leaving.
Yeah, though. I haven't seen a whole lot of leaving yet.
Right. No.
I'm waiting.
Well, and you know, one other piece of that is the affordability factor in like the Cape Coral MSA. Folks that are coming from other markets aren't used to being able to buy a new three-bedroom, two-bath, new construction home, maybe with a pool for $350,000. That doesn't exist in a lot of other markets in Florida. So that's just adds to the list of long drivers that are bringing folks here. Now, clearly not all everywhere in Fort Myers and Cape Coral is like that. We have huge monstrosities on the river that go for millions and millions, but for the most part, the affordability factor is a huge driver.
You see, a lot of these rooftops, as you refer to them as, are exemption, homestead exemption houses that are kind of ghost houses, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's an interesting phenomenon. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, and you know, I think a case study on that would be very, very interesting
to see
the magnitude of that, because obviously, you know, there's big benefits to having your residency in Florida versus other places, and it'd be interesting to see to what magnitude that really is occurring, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm reminded of it daily. I live in Cape Coral on a canal, and the house across from us, it's a 200-foot canal, is the biggest, nicest house on the canal, and I've seen people in it 2 days in the last 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to guess that there's a homestead exemption.
Or maybe they're just very quiet.
Very quiet. They have 38 houses around the world. So that's one of the lesser ones, perhaps. I don't know. I don't live in that world too much. Mm-hmm. So let's also talk about what you think things will be like post-pandemic in the immediate future, because we want to do another show with you at some point where we talk about, you know, your vision for 5, 10, 20 years out. But how about over the next few months in 2021? Through the rest of the year.
So, Nelson, I'll kind of share my thought and then lead into it. I think hesitancy is probably the biggest word here that we're dealing with, especially on the end user side of commercial real estate, is hesitancy and what ifs. There's a couple sectors in particular that I think have the most hesitancy, and they're the ones that you would expect. It's the hotels, and it's the experiential retail, meaning like the movie theaters, the Dave and Buster's, those type of things. What do you?
Exactly. It's just all going to be comfortability with high packed environments of people and high touch point environments. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you look at that, even especially in the office world, you know, Gartner has been out of their offices for what, almost a year, and they're not going back till September. So, but they're paying the rent. So, if you're that landlord, you know, they're paying. They may not be physically in it, they're economically in it. Yeah. So, I think you're going to see a lot of that type of stuff. So, when you look at the office kind of environment, you know, it's not going to be packed in spaces. It might be a little more hesitancy, it is still a little bit more open, but as comfortability kind of takes back hold and people get more vaccines and kind of, you know, slows down the pandemic, should be getting back to normal.
Yeah, and you know, an interesting subset to that question is originally, and to the Gartner comment, originally everybody thought office is done. You know, people aren't going back to offices anymore. People want to go back to offices is what we found and kind of what we thought early on. You know, there are some major companies that are choosing, hey, now we can work virtually and we don't need to have an office environment. People enjoy collaboration. People enjoy seeing other people in the office. I, for one, lost my mind completely working at home. I enjoyed it for the first couple days, and then I was ready to get back to it. So I think, yes, clearly tied to vaccination and dropping in COVID cases, office is coming back.
Mm, yeah, there's lots of anecdotal evidence out there that people want to go back, to your point, because there's a whole other component, whole other layer of human interaction that doesn't happen remotely.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We do need to take a very quick break here. So if you don't mind hanging around for just a minute, we will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Wendy Payton, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Officer Phil Mullen of the Cape Coral Police Department, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hello, I'm Officer Carl T. Kennedy, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
RPCRA frequently partners with Lee Health to help our community with life-saving donations of blood. Please consider donating at one of our upcoming collection events at our Cape Coral or Fort Myers office. Keep an eye on your member weekly newsletter and our Facebook page for exact dates and locations. Your community is counting on you, and we thank you for giving.
Southwest Florida is famous for its beautiful beaches and waterways. The Realtor Political Action Committee fights to protect those pieces of paradise. The environment is crucial to your business and the future of Southwest Florida as a whole. Investing as little as $20 in RPAC helps protect our home and promotes clean waterways and clean beaches. Protect our environment by investing in RPAC today. For more information or to invest, contact Kevin Besser, Director of Public Policy, at kevin@rpcra.org.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast. I'm Jim Sandville, along with Jerry Johnson and our guests. Today, we are honored to have in the studio Justin Tebow and Nelson Taylor from LSI Companies in Fort Myers. They are one of the major players in the commercial and land space here in Fort Myers area. And they are a wealth of knowledge, so we are pleased to pick their brains for the balance of this show. The focus of today's show is the current situation in the Southwest Florida market. And I'd be interested to know if how other markets are faring, but I guess we could, Nelson, you probably have all kinds of details and stats that show me comparatively how Southwest Florida is doing.
I do.
How are we doing?
We're doing pretty good. I think if you really want to just look at it, it's all based on population growth. You know, when you start to look at our occupancy rates, because if you don't add more space, but you add more people, there's going to be more demand on the current space, which is going to increase occupancy levels and increase rents. So that's kind of why we see new construction, especially in the industrial sector, is because demand is so high. But, I mean, really, when you look at it, the unemployment rate nationally, I think, is still in the mid-sixes, and we're Lee County sub, 4.1% and dropping. Yeah. So we're recovering a lot faster than most just because people are down here. So, I mean, that's really one thing you want to look at when you start to just figure our area out, is if you track that population, it's about 4 times the national and 2 times the state average, which makes it a desirable area to add more apartments, more single family homes, more commercial buildings, more industrial space.
Yeah, and as we talked about before the break, I mean, this is driven by factors that are completely understandable. It's nothing shocking, but Nelson, I'd be interested to know, in your line of work, I mean, you're parsing data all day, every day, and dreaming about it at night. Mm-hmm. So what, occasionally you must see numbers and charts and graphs that just don't make sense to you, that don't ring true, yet they are. You know they are. Does this happen?
Yes. Yes, it does. It happens a lot.
Like what? Give me an example, please.
I think when you look at our permit numbers, especially in the single family environment right now, and if you look like at Cape Coral is probably one of the more interesting ones. If you looked at it in 2012, the entire year, all 12 months, I think we issued 350 permits for new single family construction, all of Cape Coral. If you looked in August of 2020, we did 354. So we surpassed all of 2012 in 1 month in 2020 for new growth.
Wow.
Sometimes there's, Nelson's eyes get very wide, and then we look at something you produce, and I say, there's no way. And then we go back, and we regather about an hour later, and yeah, absolutely.
Turns
this is
out
what happened.
Way. Yeah.
It's shocking sometimes.
One in four new homes is built in Cape Coral and all of Southwest Florida, Collier, Lee, and Charlotte.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cape Coral.
Yep. I think they did, 2,800 permits in all of 2020, which surpassed like a 5-year total stretch between 2012 and 2016. It's just, it was insane how much new permit growth is out there, and it's really becoming a fixture, especially the Pine Island Road corridor.
Right.
We sold a track out there that we thought was going to be a retail-based environment, but some of the highest prices we're seeing in the commercial land is along Pine Island Road, especially in like the
healthcare, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, Cape Coral is an interesting case study because it's not like like many, many other places. It was a planned community from 1961 or so. The Rosen brothers were out there getting it done. But one thing it lacks from an urban planning perspective is the industrial base, the commercial base. Is there more of that going on?
Well, the city of Cape Coral has been putting a big push on that, and they see the need. They and there is a need there. And I've heard of some things happening and on the precipice in Cape Coral that are going to support future industrial growth. There's certainly the area to do it. Maybe not quite enough on a long-range planning standpoint, but I know that's something the city's focused on. It needs to happen, more growth in that sector, just because there's so many rooftops. It will inevitably happen as our permit growth continues.
Mm-hmm. Now, last time you were on, we talked about the explosion in development, commercial development around Alico here in Fort Myers. Let's dive into that a little bit. And what's the breakdown of who's going in there? What's the use?
Sure. So primarily off of I-75 frontage, we're seeing service provider, single tenant, industrial buildings as the newest users. And that's the My Shower Door, which is a glass company that does shower enclosures, windows, wine rooms, etc. Distribution points, things like the Robin Stuckey building, which although that's not new news, that is one of the newer buildings around there. Best Home Services, I think, is another one. So service providers. Distribution is a new one coming in, large-scale distribution facilities based on the proximity to I-75 and the airport. And then, interestingly, the strip of Alico along Three Oaks Parkway along I-75 is office for the most part. And I think that has a lot to do with visibility. That was a prime visibility corridor for companies to get good branding and good access. So we're seeing some Class A high-end product come in to an area that was primarily industrial zoned, but agricultural cattle farms for as long as I can remember.
How many of the big projects occupy former cattle farms and strawberry fields?
A ton. Anything really, savvy landowners understand the process and they keep agricultural exemption until it's time. And that's what a lot of the folks in that corridor do.
Interesting. All right. And what do you see happening in the Alico area specifically? Is that going to continue to grow? Do you have data that supports that, Nelson?
Yeah, I mean, I've tracked a lot of the transactions out there and a lot of the permitting activity. So, I mean, it was a sleepy corridor for a long time, but a lot of the residential boom that happened, you know, with Wild Blue and Center Place and, you know, Verdana and Corkscrew area, for just that whole, it added a lot of new population, which demanded services, and that also demanded construction supply, which made the Alico corridor a foundation to build your, you know, metal warehouse shop right there. Mm-hmm. That you could supply roof trusses, you could supply windows and AC fixes and all that kind of good stuff. But the land is getting gobbled up pretty quick.
It is. And you know, outside of the single tenant industrial stuff, we're seeing a lot of multi-tenant industrial flex, which to me, it's a perfect spot for that. Again, back to the proximity. It's industrial zone land. It's right along I-75, right in the middle of Lee County, to where Collier County, Charlotte County, Hendry County, Glades County, everywhere around here can be accessed relatively quickly because of our highway system. It's a perfect spot for that. So we're seeing the birth of a few large-scale multi-tenant industrial flex projects, and I'm sure those will get snapped up very quickly. They're not going to have any trouble leasing up new industrial flex in that corridor.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the Three Oaks Road right there, with the plan of it connecting all the way to Daniels, it's going to really open up that corridor to rush from, you know, San Carlos Park all the way up to the Daniels corridor. So it'll really have access points from a wide variety of areas in the county.
You can almost see the traffic jams forming now.
Yeah.
But the Department of Transportation, they have their eye on the ball here.
Absolutely.
And we've heard presentations from them here at the Realtor Association. So it sounds like, even if at times, what can we do? More people are coming, but they're doing their best, I think.
They're trying. They better. We got a lot of cars added to this road.
Yeah, we do.
Now, how important is rail service to the development of commercial spaces?
I would say not very, at least in our market. There is the, you know, Seminole Railway Corridor right there. They do the murder mystery train. Mm-hmm. Never been on it, but I think it's one of the more notable uses for it. I don't think, I've only gotten caught on Colonial, I think, 3 or 4 times by the, you know, yeah, train coming through, but it doesn't really transport a lot of our commodities here. Okay. I think more in the center of the state. Yeah, it kind of has that corridor area.
Phosphate.
That, yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for South Florida, the rail line is underutilized for what it could be, but it's definitely, you know, other states outside of Florida and then into northern Florida, it's paramount. But we're more, our commodities are moved more by trucking here.
So Cape Coral is not at a disadvantage because they lack direct rail access, right?
No, I would say no.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's good. All right. You know, one thing that has always intrigued me is preparing commercial land for reuse. I'm thinking specifically of a gas station. I know someone who wanted to buy an old gas station. Mm-hmm. I can open up an ice cream. Gas stations. Don't even think about it, right? What do you think about gas stations, old ones?
Well, I think it was 2009, I believe, they made all, you know, in-ground tanks become double-walled so they didn't seep into the soil. So there became a lot of contamination efforts. You know, if you look at that one parcel on McGregor, it's like mm-hmm. a famous spot where you're always like, wonder, why is nothing there? Mm-hmm. And you go look at it, and it's highly contaminated. Yeah. It becomes a remedial effort, and it almost, you know, when you start looking at your financial feasibility of, you know, let's go vertical, let's buy the land, and oh my goodness, we got to clean this up.
Exactly.
Yeah, not a good idea.
Yeah, but you know, in other markets, I've seen really cool, interesting reuse of older gas stations and service stations, and it's those that don't fit the norm now. It's, you know, the model back in years past was 4 pumps or 6 pumps. Now we look at 8 pumps, 16-pump gas stations, and in some urban markets throughout the U.S., they're repurposed into a restaurant, an outdoor eating area, things like that.
Yeah.
The issue becomes exactly what Nelson touched on, is how long and how much remediation effort do you have to get done in order to remove the tanks, make it safe for that? It puts a little bit of delay on what could be a really cool idea in the end.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a development going on in right off the coast of downtown Fort Myers, Lofton Island. Is that, that's the name of it, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're familiar with this?
I am. Clearly. I saw it was cleared not too long ago.
The Australian pines are gone.
They are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you think? There have been proposals for this island right off the coast of
for
downtown
years.
For many, many years.
For years.
But do you think something will happen this time?
I really hope so. I think it will. And I think it's time. I think Fort Myers has grown enough to support a little satellite feature to itself. I think there's enough activity brewing between the Luminary, all the work that's happening on the Riverfront District, between the rental communities and the like. I think it's time. I think there's enough folks that are interested in visiting that, and not only residents but visitors. And the question is, what will it become? You know, I think it'd be great for a cool little waterfront boat access restaurant, maybe some type of hospitality. It's interesting because it's so challenging. It's such a small piece. Mm. And it has infrastructure in place with docks and everything already, so it's already kind of made the mind wander on what it could be. But I think it could be really cool. And I think something will finally cut loose on that.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Jerry, you're a boater. Have you been out there?
Of course, yeah. Yeah? I grew up here.
I know.
Yeah, we used to drive by before there were docks and just kind of sneak on there
really?
And wander through the trees.
I'll bet you've got some stories to tell.
Maybe.
We'll talk. We'll talk later. All right. Hey, we've got to wrap it up here because our guests are such busy people. We don't want to keep them longer than it takes to get some of our questions answered. But they have graciously agreed to come back to do another show with us in the very near future about that very topic, planning for the future here in Southwest Florida, and what their vision is, what they see happening, and why. So we're going to wrap it up for now. So thank you very much, Justin.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Nelson, it's been a great pleasure to see you, too.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks for coming on, guys. And my name is Jim Sandville, the host of the Royal Palmcast, along with Jerry Johnson. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Jim.
Great job. Great job. And I also want to thank Beata Jones. Beata is our CEO, and she does a wonderful job and supports us to the nth degree here at the Royal Palmcast. We appreciate that. And if you want to get in touch with us here at the Royal Palmcast, you can do so by sending an email to shows@rpcra.org. That's shows@rpcra.org. Let us know what you think, what you want to know about, what guests you want to hear, and we will do our best to accommodate you. Again, my name is Jim Sandville, and we will look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again each week. Share and subscribe on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. And be sure to check out our sister podcast, Realtor Riff Rap, and our video news show, Realtor's Corner, which can be found on the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association Facebook page and YouTube channel. For information about sponsorship opportunities for this and other RPCRA productions, email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.